Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, and we're going to continue in our study here in Psalms, in chapter 19, verse 7, and we'll just continue here. The law of Yahuwah is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahuwah is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahuwah are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahuwah, the Lord, is perfect, is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahuwah is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahuwah are true and righteous altogether. To be desired are they, more to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and shall I be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And he is our redeemer. Yahshua, meaning our creator, is our redeemer, that name above all names. Chapter 20 of the Psalms. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And here we have, it says, the name. So perhaps we should read that with the name rather than the Lord. Yahuwah, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. And you find this peppered all through the Psalms, always talking about the name. And of course, the King James Version and the Authorized Version having obliterated the name of the Creator in it, in those translations. I believe that is the Latin Roman influence, because the Latins, or I should say the Roman Church, that is the Catholic Church, they hated everything Hebrew, or as they changed it to Jewish. They hated everything Hebrew or Hebrew sounding, and I believe that was the real motivation in changing the names or obliterating them and leaving them out in their own translations. And of course, the Protestant fathers carried over the same bias with them, because this is learned behavior. And, because as everyone knows, it's well-established fact that Martin Luther was virulently anti-Semitic. And I guess anti-Semitic in that case would be the true word, the right term to use, anti-Semitic, because that is Shemitic, Shem, which is the line through which the Messiah came. But they hated everything, as they would say today, everything Jewish, and still do, of course. And I believe that they're the main ones behind blaming the Jews and this, and the modern movement of hatred of the Jews. And also they were absolutely behind Stalin. Stalin was SJ. He was a Jesuit himself. Society of Jesus, that's another name for the Jesuits. Sounds very nice and comforting, doesn't it? The Society of Jesus. I remember the first time I heard the term Society of Jesus, and I was reading an article in a newspaper, and it caught my interest, of course, being a Bible student. And it was an article where they were bringing to question the doctrines, you know, the accepted doctrines or accepted Protestant doctrines, and the headline on the article proclaimed, the Society of Jesus says that whatever they said about Jesus, you know, something about the virgin birth and some of the tenets of the faith, of the Protestant faith. And I didn't understand at that time that the Society of Jesus was Catholics or Jesuits. I just thought it's peculiar. I said, who does these Society of Jesus guys think they are? Because they certainly don't care about anything about the real faith of Jesus. And that's what I thought at that time. Of course, I've learned since then who the Society of Jesus really are. And they were absolutely behind Hitler. He was one of their puppets, and they went about to exterminate all those nasty Jews who will not accept the Pope because they have their one God. They don't like Muslims too much either because their God is different than the Pope. It's Allah. But if you really examine, there's a video out there you might want to Google video that one. It's called The Islamic Connection. And the proposition of that video, and they demonstrate it, I think, quite successfully, the fact that the Catholic Church established Islam. And if you really consider Islam and Catholicism are so much alike in so many ways. But anyway, yeah, do that. Google video that the Islamic connection. You can also order that from FirstAmendmentRadio.com. You go to the shopping page there and go to the day special section and give any gift to $15 or more, and they'll send you that video called The Islamic Connection if you haven't seen that yet. That's a must-see for everyone. Everyone should see that video and see for themselves demonstrated with graphically demonstrated in that video who originated Islam and the Islamic faith, and had the fall squarely on the Vatican. So Psalm 20 and verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, Yahuwah, hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of God, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. So his name is a defense. And I can see why his enemies would want to obliterate his name if, as the psalmist proclaims here, the name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Well, that's a name I want to know, because I want I want his defense. And we need his defense. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. Of course, now he's speaking of the Creator to remember and to grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill thy counsel. Speaking of his word, of course, we want his word fulfilled, especially if we love his word and we try to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to him, using his word as a guide for our steps and as a light to our paths, then we want him to fulfill all his counsel. We will rejoice, verse 5 in chapter 20, we will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our God. Will we rejoice in the name of our God? Well, that's why I think it's important to learn the name of our God. That's why it's important for me to proclaim it, regardless of even my fellows here that I fellowship with, who say the name of God is just a distraction. Well, it's a huge distraction, because the name of the Creator has been obliterated from the Scripture more than 6,000 times. That's a huge distraction. It's one I can't overlook. And besides, and I'm going to point it out again, if you go to my website, Cross the Border, up there at the top, you'll see Biblical Studies is the operative term here on Cross the Border in my program, and everything I do is Biblical Studies. And for me to ignore something that has occurred over 6,000 times in the Scripture would be for me to neglect what I proclaim to do. And that is to study the Bible. So we will rejoice in thy salvation and in the name of our God. We will set up our banners. Yahuwah, fulfill all thy petitions. well, I'm going to take all of this, you know, everything, every proclamation that David is making here. Yes, he can defend me. Yahuwah, defend me. Fulfill all my petitions, you know. Please, Heavenly Father, you know. Verse 6, now know that Yahuwah saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Well, who is at his right hand? Huh? Who is at the right hand of the Creator? You are my son. Sit here at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. With the right hand, he saves us. And it's his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Yeah, some trust in guns and some trust in tanks. Some trust in policemen and all their firepower. Some trust in SWAT teams and some trust in judges of this world. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of Yahuwah, our God. Yes, read it. That's what it really says in the Hebrew. We will remember the name of Yahuwah, our God. That's what the received text says. Of course, like I said, they've whitewashed his name out of the scripture and they've replaced it with a phrase, the Lord. And I know it's uncomfortable making that transition from the whitewashed translation to the Textus Receptus, which proclaims his name. Chapter 20 and verse 8. They are brought down and fallen. Who are brought down and fallen? Those who trust in chariots. Those who trust in horses. And they bring that to today. Those who trust in SWAT teams and assault rifles. Those who trust in the armies of men rather than the army of our God. Those who forget the name of Yahuwah, our God. Most of them don't remember it because they never know. They've never known it. So, and many people, you know, like I did when I first heard it, I somewhat rejected it. It's hard when you hear something for the first time and you're used to something else. You've been conditioned and brainwashed into something else. And then the conditioners and brainwashers, who are really hirelings under the corporate church, who've been brainwashed and conditioned themselves through their Jesuits training at their local seminary. Yes, they're professionals. That's right. Trust me, I'm a professional. I was professionally trained at the Jesuit seminary, although I didn't know it was a Jesuit seminary. But, you know, if you do a little digging, you find out who controls the curriculum, even at the Baptist seminaries. Oh, it all comes from the Jesuits. It really does. It all comes. And that means the Vatican. Yes, she surely does reign over all the kings of the earth today. Oh, she was wounded for a little while, but I think she's pretty much recovered. I think her recovery was complete before World War I, because that was her war. And definitely before World War II, because that was her war. Go to your Google search engine and put in Catholic Hitler, and you will be astounded, and perhaps your eyes will be opened for the very first time. You will learn that World War II was a Catholic Inquisition. She's become very clever. She learned her lessons from history. She learned to cover her inquisitions and blame them all on somebody else. But a little digging, and you can see it. It's so plain. So do that. Go, all you skeptics out there, go to your Google search engine. Just put in Catholic Hitler, and voila, you will see the pictures there. And every picture speaks 1,000 words. And there's plenty of good writing out there, too. So, and you'll find some of that as you Google those terms, Catholic Hitler. It's very astounding. And you might look up while you're at it, Jesuit Stalin. And you'll be just as astounded. And you'll go, why didn't they teach me this in the history books? Well, that's because there's 28 Jesuit universities in America, and they pretty much control the curriculum of everything that is taught in the public sphere in America.
Oh.
But by faith they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Yahuwah. Let the King hear us when we call. Chapter 21 and verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The King shall joy in thy strength, O Yahuwah, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he rejoice. You know, as I go through the Old Testament and having the big picture, because we need to know the whole Word of God from beginning to end, the Old and New Testament, you see that the entire New Testament is hidden in the Old Testament. It's all there. You see that it's the same God. There's no God of the Old Testament, but Jesus was the new and loving God of the New Testament. Oh, Yahshua was Yahuwah. That's right. Yahuwah, our God, our Creator, became a man. He prepared a body for himself. He dwelt in that man. And the mystery, he's not two gods. It's the same God. Can we limit him? Can we say that God can't do that? And now we're polytheists? No. There's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, Yahuwah, our God, is one. And could the one God remain creator in heaven, but also indwell a man? See, that's a mystery. I can't explain it to you, but I know it's true. I know it's one God. And they've come up, people come up with doctrines like the Trinity doctrine, which you can't really find in the scripture. Because I always ask people to show me the Trinity in the Bible. Of course they can't, but they always point to the scripture verses that say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you know what I say? I believe that. But I'm not going to spout out a Trinity doctrine, because you can't take the mystery of God and boil it down to a doctrine. Do I believe that our Creator was present in Yahshua the Messiah? Yes. He was all God and all man. Do I believe that the Holy Spirit, that he's present in the Holy Spirit? Well, yes, I believe that it is his Holy Spirit. But still, I believe that God is one. And they say God in three persons. And, well, you know, that's trying to put into words a mystery. And, unless you own the mystery, unless he's revealed it to you, you know, there's no sense in trying to boil it down to a doctrine for anybody. Because if they can't understand it, if they don't own it, if he hasn't revealed it to them, then it doesn't matter how well you try to explain it. And then people make a litmus test out of the doctrine. Well, it's not a biblical doctrine. The doctrine of the Trinity is not a biblical doctrine. That's right. It doesn't teach it. So am I saying I don't believe in the Trinity? Well, I believe in a lot of things. That doesn't mean that I hold them. And I would never teach the doctrine of the Trinity. I'll just teach the Bible, and then everyone, whoever God reveals that mystery to, well, then they'll own it. And if he doesn't reveal it to them, it doesn't matter what I teach or how many doctrines I build about it. There's nothing there for me. I have his word. What more do I need? I don't need the doctrines of men. And I know a lot of people would argue with me about that one, but I'm going to remain vague because the scripture is vague about it. There you go. I have that privilege to remain as vague as the scripture is about anything. So when it comes to the doctrines of men, I don't have to hold them and believe them and teach them. I'll just teach the straight word of God. And, if it's something is a mystery and he's revealed it to me, how he could be all God and all man and in the man, Yahshua, the Messiah, also called Jesus by many in the West, then I believe it. I believe he could do it. If he prepared a body for himself and he indwelt that body, if he could separate himself from that at that moment or forsake the man Yahshua, say there's a mystery there. How do we understand it? How do we put that into words? We can't. I can't anyway. And calling it the Trinity, you know, giving it that, well, that doctrinal name doesn't help me to understand it anymore. It doesn't solidify it for me. And maybe it does for other people, but it doesn't work for me. But somehow I do understand the mystery. I know it's true. Is it three different persons? No, I don't believe that either. Because hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is, he is one. Yahuwah, our God, is one. And I guess the best way I could explain it is, yes, I have a body, I have a spirit, and I have a soul. Those are three different aspects of me, the same man. That's the simplest way I can understand it. So if God can remain one and have those three different aspects to his personality, well, if I can do it, I guess he can do it even much more. He did say we were created in his image. Does that make me a Trinity? Well, I guess if you want to call it that, I guess you could. Anyway, that's something I really don't like to talk about too much because it just brings contention. So many people get contentious when you start talking about the Trinity. And some things are better just left a mystery and without trying to explain it to those who don't understand, because he is the one who reveals mysteries, not me. So all the explaining in the world is not going to help someone that he does not reveal it to. I'll leave it at that. We're in chapter 12. O Yahuwah, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. The king shall joy in thy strength. And of course, I believe that David here in this instance is referring to himself when he said, the king shall joy in thy strength, and in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and hast not withheld the request of his lips, for thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days, forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him, for thou hast made him most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in Yahuwah, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. Thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Yahuwah shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shalt thou destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border, so stay tuned for the news.